For most of my life, I thought boundaries were the beginning of the end. Rejection, retaliation, silence. If someone drew a line, I assumed they were already walking away from me. So I tried to be borderless, flexible, available, and agreeable. But I didn't feel free. I felt invisible. This is Zero Meaning, where we unravel words, redefine perspectives, and empower healthy change. I'm your host, Zero. And today, we're leaning into a word many of us misunderstood long before we ever learned to say it out loud. Boundaries. A word rooted in Latin, bodina, meaning limit or dividing line. But boundaries are not barriers we build to keep the world out. They are the language we use to preserve connection, to protect peace, to guide love safely through us, without losing ourselves along the way. If no one ever taught you how to draw a line without burning a bridge, this episode is for you. Because boundaries aren't walls, they're doorways. And sometimes, the kindest thing we can do for others and for ourselves is to label the door. I didn't grow up learning what boundaries were. No one explained them, not in words I could hold, not in actions I could trust. What I did learn through silence and consequences was that boundaries meant I was being punished. If someone pulled away, said no, or went quiet, I didn't hear self-respect. I heard rejection. I thought boundaries were something you used to push people out, a final warning, a slow goodbye. So I became who I needed to be to avoid them. I became smaller, quieter, and more agreeable than authentic. I thought love meant always being available, that setting a limit was selfish, that if I asked for space, I'd be abandoned. And if someone asked me for space, I must have done something wrong. No one told me that boundaries could be holy, that they weren't weapons or walls, but invitations with labels, a way of saying, this is where I end, and this is where you can meet me. But when love has always been tangled with control, even kindness can feel like a trap. Even no can sound like never again. I wasn't resisting love. I was resisting harm disguised as love. And I hadn't learned the difference. So I misunderstood boundaries. For years, I thought they were proof that I didn't belong. But they're not rejection. They're protection for both people. And I didn't just misunderstand boundaries. I rebelled against them. Not openly, not with words, but with chaos. With reckless behavior that felt like freedom. Because I believed submission was the only other option. And if boundaries were changed, then I would rather run wild than ever be caged again. I used to think chaos meant I was free. I chased like a dog without a leash, bombing hills that scraped skin down to the bone, racing cars through neighborhoods at night, laying in the middle of the road just to prove I was alive. I played chickens with trains. Dodged death in alleyways, smoked what I shouldn't have touched, drank like I had nothing worth remembering. But it wasn't bravery. It was heartbreak in disguise. I didn't want to die, exactly. I just didn't want to feel caged. Because when boundaries are introduced as control, freedom becomes whatever looks like the opposite, even if it kills you. And for a long time, I confused submission with love. The people who loved me also controlled me. So when someone tried to set a boundary, I didn't hear care. I heard threat. I didn't see a doorway. I saw a lock. I rebelled, not because I wanted chaos, but because I thought that's what living was. The louder the rebellion, the deeper the wound. And in the quiet after the chaos, I started to wonder if freedom could feel like peace instead. I see that now. There's a moment that still lives in my chest like an echo. Someone I loved deeply told me they needed space. Not forever, just space. They called it a boundary. I called it abandonment. I didn't argue. I didn't cry. But something inside me crumbled quietly. Because for most of my life, I believe love meant unlimited access. No doors, no locks, no rules. Just leave the light on and the front door wide open forever. So when they said, "I'm setting this boundary because I want to protect what we have," I didn't hear protection. I heard, "You're too much." I also heard, "Stay out." When you've only ever known boundaries as rejection or punishment, even the gentle kind feels like exile. But here's what I've come to understand, slowly, painfully, and with practice. A boundary isn't a wall you're thrown against. It's a doorway somebody labels, so both of you don't get lost. It doesn't say leave. It says, if you want to stay, take off your shoes. It's not cold, it's clear. And clarity is a form of care. There's the kind of ache that comes with unlearning, especially when the lesson was survival. I remember the first time someone told me their boundary wasn't about pushing me away, but keeping something between us safe. I didn't believe them, not right away. Because when someone tells you no, and all your nervous system hears is, "You're not worth it," logic doesn't stand a chance. I didn't hear safe. I heard shame. So I did what I'd always done. Pulled away, shut down, started rehearsing my exit speech in case I was about to be left again. Boundaries used to feel like chains, tethers, commands. The word no sounded like a slammed door and echoing footsteps. But here's what I'm starting to realize. I wasn't being locked out. I was being invited in, but this time to do it right. Boundaries aren't shackles. They're structure. They're the quiet rules that let love last longer. And me? I was a wild horse trying to understand what it meant to be led instead of broken. Sometimes the door didn't close on me. It just waited until I was willing to knock. When I first started naming my needs, it felt like I was laying bricks between myself and the people I loved. I thought boundaries were the start of separation, but they became the beginning of mutuality. The word mutual is sacred to me now. Mutual respect, mutual affection, mutual care. But here's what no one tells you. Mutual doesn't mean mirror. It means effort in both directions. Your love language might sound different than mine. Your version of showing up might not match my version of asking. But mutuality means we're both willing to try and both safe enough to speak. Before I understood this, I gave loyalty like oxygen to people who only stayed long enough to breathe me in. Boundaries helped me stop begging for air from people who never intended to share their own. They taught me something my heart had never learned. Mutuality isn't measured by what's returned. It's revealed by who remains when you're no longer convenient. And I stopped chasing people who needed me silent to love me. There's this myth that if you truly love someone, you won't need boundaries. But here's the truth no one taught me. Love without boundaries isn't intimacy. It's enmeshment. And enmeshment doesn't build closeness. It erases it. I used to wear pride like an armor. I don't need boundaries. I'm easygoing. I don't make people uncomfortable. But that wasn't peace. That was fear dressed in people-pleasing. When someone first told me their boundaries were there to protect our connection, I was offended. Offended because I didn't yet understand that boundaries aren't blockades. They're blueprints. Not ultimatums, but invitations. And I remember thinking, if I were truly lovable, I wouldn't need rules to be tolerated. But that wasn't love either. That was my trauma speaking in the voice of logic. It took time and therapy to unlearn the lie that boundaries are rejection with better branding. They're not. Boundaries are the language of people who want to stay. People who say, here's how I can show up well. Here's how I can stay kind. Here's how I can remain. And for the first time, I'm learning to say that too. I used to think mutuality meant equal effort, equal affection, equal everything. That if I called, you'd call. If I texted, you'd text. And if you didn't, well, it meant you didn't care. But I've learned that mutuality isn't about symmetry. It's about sincerity. It's not tit for tat. It's trust for trust. And the more I pay attention, the more I've realized mutuality has its own quiet language. It sounds like, I remembered you hate that noise, so I turned it down. Or, I noticed you didn't respond, so I waited instead of pushing. It's not a scoreboard. It's a mirror. And boundaries, real compassionate boundaries, are how I polish that mirror. Now I pay attention to who listens when I whisper instead of scream. Who adjusts without being asked? Who respects without needing to be reminded? That's mutuality. And that's who I give my loyalty to. Not the loudest person in the room. Not the one who gets it right once. But the ones who show up consistently with care. Because I've stopped handing out lifelong loyalty to people who treat me like I'm disposable. And honestly, that boundary has given me more peace than any apology ever did. There was a time when hearing someone say, I need space, felt like a blade to the chest. I'd read it as, you've failed. You're too much. You're about to lose them. That wasn't about them, though. It was my story echoing louder than their words. But now, when someone offers me a boundary, I try to see it as a bridge, not a barricade. I listen to the shape of their discomfort, not just the sound. And instead of shrinking from it, I ask myself, can I honor this? Can I still be myself within these lines? Can this make our connection safer? Sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes, sadly, it's no. And both are acts of self-respect. Because boundaries don't always mean forever together or never again. Sometimes they mean, I care enough to tell you the truth and trust you'll do the same. And that trust, that's where real connection starts. Not with sameness, but with clarity. Some people only love you when your mouth is closed and your needs stay buried. The moment you say, this is what I need, they shrink back like you've grown teeth. You're not being cold and you're not being cruel. You're being clear. But for those who fed off your silence, clarity feels like a betrayal. And that's the giveaway, isn't it? If your yes was only accepted because your no was never an option, that wasn't love, that was convenience. Let them rewrite your role. Let them cast you as a villain. It's okay. You're not auditioning anymore. You're living. And in this next chapter, there's no room for roles that demand you disappear to be loved. I used to measure love by how much I could give without asking for anything back. But boundaries taught me that love without mutuality isn't love, it's endurance. Now, I listen with my whole body. If I feel myself shrinking to stay close, I step back. Mutual respect, mutual affection, mutual loyalty. That's the soil where trust grows. I no longer beg to be understood by people who refuse to meet me there. It's not rejection. It's redirection. Because I've learned if someone only stays when your silence makes them comfortable, then your voice was never welcome in the first place. And I have no interest in a home where my voice must be left at the door. I become fluent in the language of boundaries, not just the spoken kind, but the flinch, the long pause, the way someone looks down instead of up when a line has been crossed. I try to honor them all, but I won't lie. When someone names a boundary right after I've unknowingly overstepped, my chest tightens. The wild horse in me kicks up again, not because I want to run, but because I've spent too long associating correction with abandonment. Old wiring fires fast. It still whispers, "They don't want you. You broke it. Disappear." But I breathe through the static now. I remind myself, boundaries don't exile us. They invite us to stay with truth. And staying, without shrinking or fleeing, is how I reclaim the safety I thought I had to earn by disappearing. There was a time I mistook boundaries for walls, unyielding, lonely, and cold. I thought they meant exile, that to set one was to slam the door and lock it. But now I know, boundaries aren't walls, they're doorways. Doorways with signs that say, "Enter if you can meet me in mutuality. If you can walk gently with what I've named sacred." Some people read that sign and turn away. They call you selfish, difficult, too much. But others, they knock. They listen. They step through slowly with care in their hearts. Those are the ones you build homes with. So when the guilt creeps in, when the old fear returns, whispering you're pushing them away, I say it again like a prayer. Boundaries aren't walls, they're doorways. I deserve a front door that doesn't swing open to anyone willing to kick it down. We've been taught that boundaries end relationships. But here's what I've learned. A boundary doesn't end the relationship. It defines the condition for it to begin. Honestly, for so long, I shaped myself around other people's comfort. I thought love meant endurance, that silence kept the peace, that safety could be earned by erasing myself. But I know now, love without safety isn't love, and safety without boundaries is just a performance. You don't owe anyone a version of you that hurts to maintain. And if you're afraid, if you're shaking with the thought of finally drawing the line, let this be your permission. Boundaries aren't walls, they're doorways. You're not locking people out. You're showing them how to come in. If this episode helped you name something you didn't have words for before, I invite you to walk with me further. Subscribe to Zero Meaning wherever you get your podcasts. Read the full blog, shop our healing journals, and join the newsletter at sconeandscribe.com. Explore boundary-affirming merch and gifts at our Etsy shop. Links in the show notes. And if you're near Kansas City, join us for the Our Candy Rose, an event honoring survival, healing, and rebirth. On August 15th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Hodge Park Trail System. Until next time, remember, your boundaries aren't cruelty, they're clarity. And the people who truly care about you will thank you for the map. This is Zero Meaning. We don't just unravel words, we reclaim what they took from us. So choose your words wisely, question what you've been told, and never stop seeking the truth beneath the surface. Until next time, stay mindful, stay curious, and keep redefining meaning.